Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. And we'll be starting verse number 2 today, which says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." So as the Apostle Paul is starting to build up the issues of the doctrine and how the doctrine actually applies to them from the practical sense, he's going to start talking about this issue of the idea of commandments that were given unto these saints in Thessalonica. And he says that there are some these things that they know. So he's taking it to the issue of the knowledge that they have. So this foundation of the doctrine that is inside of them and how this foundation is what is going to have that major impact on who they are and how it is that they're living this life. And when we talk about this issue of knowing these things, it all goes back to these different things that we see the Apostle Paul say about the responsibility that we have, the things that we should be doing to be building this up. But we start with, you know, kind of that foundation of things of over in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 15, which says, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So Paul talking about the responsibility and how it is that individuals should be handling the things of the word of God, and talking about that, you know, first of all, we are to study the word, you know, and that's something you don't always hear individuals talking about, because there's usually an issue that people have of, well, I just, you know, maybe open my Bible on Sundays when I go to church, and, you know, sometimes not even that, and, you know, that's the, you know, but even if I'm not opening it up, you know, that I do hear the word being said, and, you know, that's kind of good enough. But, you know, even in those settings, there's, you know, not always the focus on the things of the word of God, where, you know, individuals, instead of teaching God's word, will focus on, you know, telling stories to make people feel good, focus on just the music piece of things, focus on, you know, well, we've got this event and this event and this group and that group and all these other things that, you know, keep taking people away from what the word of God actually says. And Paul makes it very clear that we have a responsibility to actually be studying, to be building up this doctrine inside of ourselves. And we see how Paul will talk about this if we go over to Romans chapter number 12. And we'll see how Paul talks about things here in the book of Romans. And again, as he's starting to shift into some practical things for these saints in Rome, you see how in the first two verses of Romans chapter number 12 that Paul's going to say some things about what we need to do with our mind. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we see here how Paul, drawing this contrast between the things of this world and the things of God, and how there really needs to be a focus on not being conformed to the things of this world, and that our focus needs to be on the issue of renewing our mind. And the only way that our mind is going to be renewed is going to be following what we laid out over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, of studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's going to be taking the word of God in, and when I say the word of God, making sure that I'm rightly dividing the word, which means that I'm taking in the doctrine that needs to be applied for me, that applies directly to me. Because there are a lot of different things written in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Now, if I try to apply all of those things to my life, I'm going to have problems, because there are things that appear to contradict each other. And if I'm trying to do those things, it's going to be a problem because I can't do them all. You know, and I'll use the very simple example. If we talk about the diet of how someone's supposed to eat, you know, Genesis chapter number 1 talks about how individuals are to only eat plants. Then Genesis chapter number 9 adds in that, you know, all living creatures are good and can be added to the plant life. Then I get to Leviticus chapter number 11, and certain types of meat are okay to eat. Certain types are not, because there are a list of clean and unclean animals. Then I get over into 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and it talks about how all things are good if they're received with prayer and thanksgiving. So I cannot apply all four of those passages to myself, because all four of them are saying completely different things. So I have to understand who the audience is of each one of those passages, so that way I can understand who the instructions were given to. And that's the whole issue of rightly dividing the word of truth. And most people who actually read or study the Bible have some semblance of the idea of that they do divide the word of truth, because they're not doing everything that's laid out. You know, for example, they're not performing the animal sacrifices that are described in the first few chapters of the book of Leviticus, because they understand that those don't apply to us today. So they've already drawn that level of a distinction with things. You know, there are so many other things that don't apply because they're not written to us. And that's how we have that understanding of the word of God. Now, the things of this world will try to pull people farther and farther away from what the word of God actually says by getting people all caught up in things that are not related to Scripture, but are just related to the things of this world, to say, well, you know, that this is really what you should be focusing on. And as a person focuses on those things, you know, they spend less and less time building up the doctrine, which means they're less and less time having that renewing of the mind, and they're being conformed to the image of this world. And we know who is the one that's in charge of this world. If we go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, we see Paul lays out the whole issue of who is in charge of the things of this world. Ephesians 2 verse 2, when it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we see, as Paul's describing the things of talking about how these saints in Ephesus had walked according to the course of this world, he identifies the fact that it's the prince of the power of the air who's controlling the things of the course of this world. He's talking about that it's Satan who has that control over the things of this world, and that there was a time where they were following the things of this world. And he's holding up to say that it's a good thing that you're not doing this anymore. And you're not doing it because Paul has laid out the things for us. And we go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we see how Paul's going to describe himself and the doctrine that has been given unto him. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we read here verse number 16, which says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, Paul describes here this issue of that the pattern that has been laid out. Now, when we look at the pattern of the Apostle Paul, Paul's pattern does not involve his salvation. Because if it involved his salvation, then we would all be waiting for the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air to communicate to us. Because that's the moment that we have Paul's salvation in Acts chapter number 9. The pattern is really the issues of the doctrine that's been given to us, starting with Romans chapter number 1 and ending with the book of Philemon. That's the pattern, the information that had been given unto the Apostle Paul to give to us. That way we can understand what God wants us to do. That's that pattern. And an individual is able to grow in that understanding, to even have a semblance of what the understanding of the Word of God is, that has to start only when somebody has salvation. You know, that's why individuals who are not saved, you know, they struggle looking at the things of the Word of God, because there's nothing for it to take root in inside of themselves. And a person has salvation today by the fact that they put their trust in the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And a person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. And once that occurs, then you can have the growth in the knowledge of what the Word of God actually says. We see how Paul talks about this path if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm going to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 1, where it says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we're to follow the Apostle Paul as he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the way that this whole process works is by the fact that we have been saved and we take in the doctrine which then allows for us to be able to follow the Apostle Paul as he followed Christ. And if we turn back to chapter number 2 in this same epistle, we see how Paul's going to describe how this process actually occurs in the individual, so that way they can have this knowledge that he's speaking of. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we'll start here at verse number 10. It says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So Paul describes here how this whole process actually goes into effect. That it is the issue of, as an individual is studying the Word of God, that it's the Spirit that communicates with the Spirit that is inside of man to be able to give insight into what the Word of God actually says. This is why, when I had said earlier about the fact that an unsaved individual cannot understand what the Word of God says, and it's because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And because they don't have the Spirit of God in them, the Spirit cannot compare the spiritual things with spiritual to give that insight into the Word of God, so that way a person can grow in that knowledge. And the whole goal is that a person would grow in that manner, would grow, it would come to that knowledge to be able to understand exactly what it is that we are supposed to be doing. That's why you see how Paul prays for individuals. And let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1, and we're going to see how the Apostle Paul prays for these saints at Colossae as he's beginning this epistle to them. You see what it is that he's praying is going to happen with them. And here in Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to start here, verse number 9, says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, as you read and see what it is that Paul's praying for these individuals, you see how it starts with the issue of that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's praying for the fact that they would have that growth in knowledge of what the Word of God says, because it's the growth in the knowledge of what the Word of God says that's going to cause what we see verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That it's that knowledge that's built up inside of the individual that's going to allow for the person to be able to have that potential to walk worthy and do the things that are pleasing unto God. But it starts with the fact that a person has that knowledge. And that's why you see how Paul will talk about these things of knowing. And he keeps taking it back to what it is that the Word of God says, and the fact that they're supposed to know these things. And that's, you know, when we look back and we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, you know, this is why it was so important for him to actually be holding them up related to what he says here in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." That he holds up these saints to say, you've taken this information that's been given to you, and you've taken and said, this is the word of God, knowing that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So they're taking the doctrine coming from Paul, they're accepting it as the word of God, which means it's producing faith in them, which means it's building up in them. And the end result is, because it's built up in them, that it's going to have an impact on who they are. It's going to have an impact on this walk. You know, that's why you see, you know, the previous verse, like, that you would walk worthy of God. You know, that there's this whole issue that keeps coming up in Paul's epistles about how an individual is supposed to live their life. You know, even though we're saved by grace through faith, the goal is that we would do the things that would be pleasing unto God. Now, we can not do any of those things, and we can still have our salvation. We can still have the fact that we'll be with him in the heavenly places for all of eternity. We lose some of that ability to be able to rule and reign with him as we don't do those things. But we have our salvation still, because there's nothing that could actually take that away. And that's something that Paul also talks about, and something, but if most people understood that, you know, they would understand the grace of God and would feel liberated instead of trying to burden themselves in something that was never given to them, trying to keep performing to try to see if they could walk right, and knowing and thinking that if they're walking right, that's the only way that they're going to be saved. Now, when we continue here next week, we're going to look at this issue of, because Paul said in our text, you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And we're going to look at this issue of what Paul means by the fact that he's identifying that some commandments were given unto these individuals in Thessalonica. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts that help you in your study of God's Word. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything that you hear in any of our broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.